Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Jack Frost is out and about today, but you're all here safe. And we're very thankful for the warmth that we have here in the classroom. I was thinking, when I started school in a place called Mun Labortlin, which is way up on the mountain outside of Listenski, it was a common practice then for children oftentimes to bring some turf with them to school. Now, not to eat, but to put on the fire, because the heating in the old Mun Labortlin school was just a big fire in the middle of one of the walls, and when the teacher arrived, he lit the fire, and it was turf. And as I say, it was a common thing for youngsters to bring a few turf to help in the heating of the school. Change days, but it's something we should ever be thankful for. Now, we're turning back to that parable that we have been looking at, the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's in Luke and the chapter 10, and we're going to remind ourselves by reading a few verses from the very heart of the parable, beginning at the verse 30 of Luke chapter 10. The Lord Jesus is answering the lawyer who had come to try and trip the Savior up, try and catch him out, but instead he found himself on the end of the Savior's barb, as it were. Instead of tripping the Savior up, he found himself under pressure as the Savior spoke to him. And the Lord Jesus is answering him here. And in the verse 30 we read, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. I've said to you that although we call this a parable, I'm inclined to think that the events here actually took place. And I was noticing, even this morning, there in verse 31, by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And then down to verse 33, but a certain Samaritan as he journeyed. And if you go back to the beginning of verse 30, you have that word again. A certain man. Now, the use of that little word, certain, would suggest to me that these events really did take place. There was a man who fell among thieves. There was a priest and a Levite who acted as we have it here recorded. And there was a Samaritan who likewise acted as is here recorded. And it's important, I think, for us to take note of these things. It's very possible that the lawyer, or some of those who would have been listening in, because the lawyer, when he started his interrogation of the Lord Jesus, he was anxious for an audience. He wanted to show the Savior up before the crowd. So there would have been a group of people, I don't know how many, but there would have been a group of people listening. And it's very likely that as the Savior told this story, they would have looked at each other and said, yeah, I remember that. Do you remember that? It really did happen. Now, the first thing I want us to notice today as we take up our study again is that the path of Christ rejection and disobedience to God is a dangerous road to travel. The Lord Jesus here is illustrating the gospel, and he speaks about this man journeying down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and that was a dangerous road. That was a dangerous road. I mentioned in an earlier study how that I remember travelling down that road, driving down it. And in parts, it was very, very windy. And branching off to the side of the road, there were deep gullies or ravines, so that it was ideal for robbers to pick as a place that they could ambush travellers. Coming down a windy road, you never had a clear view of what lay some distance in front of you. You were always coming round a corner and heading just a small, short straight and then round another corner. So you never had a chance to really get a clear view of what lay ahead of you. And then these ravines, these gullies, why, 20, 30, 50 men could have been hiding there. And just as the traveller came abreast of them, came opposite them, out they would jump and grab their victim. And the Lord Jesus picked this road as an illustration of the road that men and women travel in life. And those who are not saved, those who are rejecting the gospel, they're travelling a road just like that, dangerous. A road with many threats. And the Saviour wants us to understand that today, boys and girls. Do you realise that? If you're not saved today, you're on a dangerous road. You may not be able to see with these eyes the dangers I'm referring to, although if you look hard enough you'll see the dangers. But the dangers may not be obvious to you, but the Saviour tells you that the dangers are there. The dangers are there. It wasn't too long a journey, this, from Jerusalem down to Jericho. It was downhill all the way. And even that illustrates to us what life is all about. From the moment a little one is born, they begin a journey, but it's downhill. It's downhill. I know we talk about babies growing up, but really, they're on a downward road. It might appear they're getting bigger and stronger, but it's a downward road. Their back is toward Jerusalem, the city of God, and they're heading toward Jericho, the city of the curse, the city of judgment. And that so illustrates just what is happening in life. 15 miles or thereabouts. That was the length of the road. We have a wee hymn that says, life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf. Like the binding of a sheaf be in time. Wasn't too long a road. Wouldn't have taken a person that long to travel it. And yet it illustrates for us the path of life. You might feel, as you come to school every day, that, oh boy, time is very slow. From we come in the morning until we get out again in mid-afternoon, oh, what a length of a day. But it goes past very quickly, boys and girls. I started off by telling you of my memories of going to school, and that's a long time ago. That's 70 years ago. And those 70 years have gone past so quickly. You might say, 70 years? Oh, what a length of time. But I've travelled over 70 years, and I can tell you, it doesn't feel very long. Time passes quickly. The road is short, and the road is dangerous, as I say. In fact, on that road, it's recorded in ancient history that there was one particular place that was given a nickname, and the nickname was Blood or Bloods. And they gave it that nickname because of the number of attacks that had taken place and blood shed there by robbers, poor victims, bludgeoned, beaten up, oftentimes killed for that which they possessed. And so notorious was this particular little stretch of the road that people called it Place of Blood. How many sorrows and griefs there are on the road of life. If we could but see, boys and girls, if we could but see, there's not an inch of the ground that we travel every day, but at some time or other in the past, a victim has been attacked there. Been attacked there. I can again look back on those that were my friends and run around with me, same age group. And looking back, there's an awful lot of blank spaces in the ranks of those friends. They're gone. They fell victim to the robbers that we encounter in this life. And they're into eternity. And most of them went out into eternity without the knowledge of salvation. Without the knowledge of salvation. I'm going to give you some verses that illustrate from the Bible just how dangerous is the road we travel. Listen to this. Psalm 16 and the verse 4. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. That's God's word. Those that set their faces to turn away from God and seek after another God, their sorrows shall be multiplied. That's the term God uses. Again in the Psalms, this time 32 and the verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. And then again in the Psalm 34, the verse 21, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. These are the warnings of God. Now, they're not empty warnings. They're not empty warnings. Yesterday, when I looked at the weather forecast, it indicated that for about 24 hours, there would be nothing but heavy snow falling. Every hour, there was the symbol. Heavy snow. Not sleet or rain or light snow, but heavy snow. That's what the forecast said. And I sort of felt, boy, we're going to be wading through deep snow tomorrow. But the forecast wasn't right. Out there, what have we got? A little smear of snow on the ground. Forecast was wrong when it talked about heavy snow. But God's forecasts are never wrong. God's forecasts are never wrong. And when we read all these statements that come from God, believe me, they're absolutely true. Listen to this, Proverbs chapter 13 and the verse 21. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Listen to that. Look over your shoulder if you're not saved. And coming after you there is evil. That which will do you hurt. That which is determined to harm. God is warning folk. Of course, God in his kindness toward sinners oftentimes intervenes to preserve their life. For I was saved, I had many car accidents. And I know now that the Lord preserved my life. I didn't think it at the time. All I could think were angry thoughts. Not against myself, when in actual fact I was the one to blame. But you sort of felt angry that an accident should happen. Your car was damaged and all the trouble and money that you were out as a result of it. You were angry against these things. You never gave any thought that God has just preserved my life. Evil pursueth sinners. Again, Isaiah chapter 3 and the verse 11. Isaiah 3, the verse 11. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. Again, there's the warning to those who are not saved from the Lord. Woe, woe. That's a dark, dark word. That little word, three letters, woe. It's a dark word. It speaks of the doom that awaits those who reject God. Isaiah, again, chapter 57, the verse 21. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. No peace. Do you know why the wicked are usually given over to drink, and today, increasingly, given over to drugs, or spend a lot of money going out to places of entertainment? Do you know why that is? Because they have no peace, they have no rest, they have no contentment. And so they look for a way of escape from the doubts, the fears that crowd in upon them. And they resort to drink, to drugs, to entertainment. Anything, anything to shut out the awareness that I have no peace. Then again, 1 Timothy, the chapter 6 and the verse 10. Slightly different reference here, but you can see that it's saying the same as those other verses that I have read to you. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There again, how many in this world today left their homes? And what were they off to do? Make money. Make profit. Enrich themselves. And God says the love of money. And boys and girls, I want you to notice what he says. He doesn't say money is the root of all evil. But it's the love of money. People who love money never can get enough of it. And so they're consumed with reaching out for more and more and more and more. And being consumed with such a desire, they take shortcuts. They break the law. They're dishonest. They don't do what's right. And in consequence, they bring upon themselves many sorrows. That's what the scriptures say. That's what the scriptures say. Now lump all those verses together. And what a dismal, dark, miserable picture God paints of those who are unsaved, those who are on the road to Jericho from Jerusalem, a road beset by robbers who are out to destroy. I'll just mention, as we come to the end of today's study, that which we'll take up the next time we're with you. But it's good for you to ponder it. There's little help for the poor traveller. This certain man, he was on his own. If it were not for the good Samaritan, he was on his own. Oh yes, the priest came over, looked at him and hurried on. Left him. The Levite did the same. If it weren't for the Saviour, boys and girls, sinners would be on their own in the midst of life's troubles. That's why you ought to feel for your neighbours who are not saved, because they're on their own in the midst of life's troubles. They're on their own. Our hearts have often been moved, I'm sure, by advertisements regarding little children in troubled areas of this world. They're on their own. They've been abandoned, or parents have been killed in the war that's going on, or succumbed to disease, and the little child is on its own. Well, your heart will be moved for the little one. Well, listen, that's how it is with sinners. They're on their own. They're on their own, just like this poor man on the road to Jericho. There was nobody there for him until the Good Samaritan appeared. We'll look more at that the next time we're with you. Let's bow together, please, in prayer. Dear Lord, we ask thee to bless your word. We've been required to paint a very dark picture this morning, Lord, because that, in truth, is how it is. This world is a dark place, and sinners are in darkness. But, O God, I pray that there might be that awareness granted to the boys and girls of the dangers there are in this world, and how that we need to keep near to the Lord Jesus. Bless the school today. Grant your peace, your power, your wonderful presence amongst the boys and the girls, and the teachers, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.